Shalom, shalom, everyone. It's so good to get back to regular scheduled shiurim. And I think the fact that we're starting this shiur again tonight, the Making Davening Meaningful shiur, in the middle of the tefillah that we left off, is incredibly, incredibly appropriate, because tonight is the yahrzeit of really an amazing, amazing tzaddik, Rabbi Yisrael Shapira. Zechusa Yogin Aleinu, Rabbi Yisrael Shapira, is known as the Blujava Rebbe. In fact, one of the shiurim of Making Davening Meaningful about the Akedah, reading the section of Akedah every morning, we told the story of the Blujava Rebbe. The Blujava Rebbe lost his wife and a number of children in the Shoah. He survived. He married a woman who lost her husband, a Rebbetzin who lost her husband and survived with two of her kids, adopting those two children as his own. The Blujava line continues through his stepsons. And tonight is the yahrzeit of the Blujava Rebbe. And I think it's so important to connect this great tzaddik to our learning this evening, because we're in the middle of the tefillah of La'olam Yehei Adam. And La'olam Yehei Adam, we pointed out, follows after the Akedah, and the development of La'olam Yehei Adam, if you remember the historical development, is very important to remember that this tefillah was enacted in about the 5th century CE, when the Jews in the Babylonian community, which at the time was really the strongest Jewish community in the world, was subjected to intense, intense religious persecution. Normally, the Babylonian community flourished without persecution, but in the 5th century, there was a leader of the community then, a Neo-Persian king, who was very, very much against the Jewish belief in only one God, and hence, on penalty of death, Jews were not allowed to recite the Shema, and they suffered greatly from persecution during this time. And the tefillah of La'olam Yehei Adam was an opportunity to say Shema earlier in the day before they went to Shul. Evidently, in the Sefer HaPardes from the Talmidim of Rashi, the historical account they have was that this king actually sent guards. And, obviously the comparisons can be made, but they're wrong, right? Yes, there are guards from the Department of Health going to Shuls over the past number of weeks. We're not talking about that, chas v'shalom, to compare it. But there were guards going into Shuls to make sure the Jews didn't say Shema, that if they would say Shema, they'd be imprisoned and very possibly put to death. So the Chazal enacted that they would say Shema before they came to Shul. We know another enactment is that they said Shema as part of Kedusha in Musaf on Shabbos and Yontif. That was because they weren't saying Shema earlier in the davening, because the Shema declaration in the belief of one God was against the law. So that king, actually, who persecuted the Jews horrifically, lived for a very short time. After he became king, he died very young. And so the Chachamim felt, you know what, we're keeping this tefillah in as a reminder for all times for Jews. This is really a prayer of the persecuted. And that's why to think about the Blujava Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael ben Tzvi Elimelech, Zechus Yagen Aleinu, on his yahrzeit tonight, as we're learning Aleph Mar Cheshvan, is so appropriate, because we know that this tefillah, what we learned about this tefillah so far, was that the tefillah starts with the declaration that a person, no matter where we are, we're in private, we're in public, we have to be God-fearing, we have to live a life of truth and recognizing, right? The first major paragraph said, Machayenu, Machasteinu, Matzikasenu, 7 expressions of emptiness, right? Relating to Hevel Havel Makal Havel from Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Koheles that we read on Shmini Atzeres. But the 7 expressions of absolute futility, that our life is meaningless, is how this tefillah starts. But then it pivots. It pivots because it says that men of wisdom are nothing, men of fame are nothing, men of power are nothing. But then it pivots. Aval anachnu amcha. But we are your nation. We are the members of your covenant, the children of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov, and that's where we left off, right? So we're in the middle of this pivot, that the tefillah starts with the futility of life, the meaninglessness of life, really, like Sefer Koheles. In short, and that's why it has 7 phrases of meh, 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 what are we, what are we, what are we, nothing. And then it pivots, aval anachnu, but we are the ones in covenant with you. We're the ones with a unique relationship. We have a great zechus. And, you know, I think about one of the most famous stories about the Balushava Rebbe to tell over the story of a tzaddik on his yard site was when he was in the Janowska concentration camp. This was in Poland/Ukraine during the war. It was Poland, now it's actually part of Ukraine. It was in that area, western Ukraine, eastern Poland. And in Janowska, it was very often seen more as a transit camp. Didn't have, you know, the hundreds of thousands killed there as you had in many other camps. So it was primarily a transit camp. The Blujever actually, when he was sent to Belzec from Janowska, he actually escaped Belzec to get back to Janowska because that was a camp that was really, not as dangerous. But when he was there for a little while, so there was a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer named Horowitz that he was working with, who was from the town of Borislav. And this lawyer, Horowitz, so he came up to the Blujever Rebbe one night and said, you know, I have something that I want to do. I want to give you a gift. He said, what gift do you want to give me? He said, I want to give you a cyanide pill. He said, I had $2,000 that was sewn into my uniform, and I was waiting for a time that I could bribe someone to get out. And he said, I sewed it up, $2,000. I was able to buy a cyanide pill for $1,000. So I bought two cyanide pills, and I want to give you one of them as a present. So what do you mean? So every night when they would come back to work in the Janowska camp, so the Nazi guards would make two long lines. And as the Jews were coming in, the Nazi guards would scream out, who is the most respected race on the face of this earth? And everyone had to scream out, the Third Reich. Who is the most disgusting? Who is the most cursed? Who is the most maligned race in this earth? And they would have to scream out the Jews. And so this lawyer, Horowitz, said to the Blujever Rebbe, I just can't do it anymore. How can we be part of this Chil Hashem, this desecration of Hashem's name? He said, I want to give you a capsule. I'll take a pill. And what we'll do is we'll show the Nazis who really is the most cursed and who is the most blessed nation in this world. And so the Blujever Rebbe told him, said, listen, what can I do? I'm the son of a Rebbe. I'm the grandson of a Rebbe. I'm the great-grandson. He was the great-grandson of the Bnei Yisachar, Hirsch Melech Dinov of Shapira, the same last name, Shapira. So he said, how can I do this? I'm a great-great-grandson of the Bnei Yisachar. I can't take my own life. I'll meet my ancestors in the next world when my time comes. But thank you for the offer. And the story is told that that night, as they were coming back into the camp, so the Nazis, they would have their bats and their clubs to hit the Jews as they were screaming this. So the Nazis screamed out, who is the most cursed nation in the world? And right away, before anyone could say anything, this lawyer Horowitz screams out, the Jew, who's the most respected nation? The Jews, and it was total silence. And again, the Nazis again scream, wait, who's the most cursed nation in the world? The Third Reich is the most cursed nation. So immediately they run to find Horowitz, where the voice is coming from. And when they get to him, he's laid out on the ground. And the Blujever Rebbe said that act of Kiddush Hashem, it was, you know, again, he said he wasn't paskening on the fact that this fellow took his life. But the Kiddush Hashem was something that we're supposed to be declaring every morning. What this is the tefillah of La'olam Yehi Adam, and that's why it's really the prayer for the persecuted. It was created for Jews as they were experiencing this persecution in the 5th century CE. And where Chazal put it in, Chachamim put it into our daily tefillah, because we have to remember, this is a reminder for us of difficult times, and a reminder that the Jewish people were able to persevere through difficult times, that we have the koach to persevere. As long as we're focused on what our role is and what our zechus is. And we left off with the final paragraph of the prayer before we actually say Shema, that starts off with the word lefichach. It says lefichach. Again, if we said that really life is meaningless, nothing, no one. But we are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then it says lefichach, therefore, anachnu chayovim, we are obligated. Now there are 7 phrases. Lahodos lecha, to give thanks to you, ulshabechacha, to praise you, ulfa'ercha, to glorify you, ulavarech, and to bless, ulakadesh, to sanctify, veloseis shevach v'hodoya l'shmecha, and to give praise and thanks to your name. Right? So there are 7 phrases here of what we have to do as Jews. right? Why is that? Again, the seven phrases of meaninglessness, of futility that this life is mirrored by, you know, yeah, right, there are seven expressions of absolute meaninglessness, that life is nothing. But now we have seven roles that we have to fulfill. Just like Shlomo HaMelech said seven times, meaningless, meaningless, we're saying as Jews, we're saying, no, meaningful, 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 meaningful. Seven times we're saying that life is so meaningful. And again, the number seven is quite significant, days of the week, right? There are people that can spend the whole week on meaningless activity, total waste of time. But as Jews, seven times that we have things that are going to fill up with meaning, fill up with Kedusha. And each phrase we're not going to talk about now, Rav Schwab in his Sefer, when he gets to Psukei Dezimra, he talks about the different expressions, perhaps then. But we have to know that this is the responsibility that we have. It is important to note that some say L'chav Tashem directly, and some say Shemecha, your name. What's the difference between Hashem and your name? So we've discussed this many times before, that the name of God is Hashem's expression in this world, right? The expression of God. What we can understand about God. God himself, B'chvod V'atzmo, is totally unknowable, right? That's why when you hear Hashem's name mentioned, what do? We say, Baruch Hu Umvaruch Shemo. Blessed is Him, and blessed is His name. Hu, Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem. That's Hashem is the unknowable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Holy One, blessed be He. Whatever He is, He is. There's nothing that I understand. There's nothing that I can reach. But Baruch Hu Umvaruch Shemo, His name, is what we do see expression of Hashem. We do see Hashem, how He acts in this world and gives. So that is what we can also connect to. And so therefore, some of the praises and some of these expressions of our responsibility to Hashem directly, and some to the name of Hashem. And as Jews, this is what our role is. And then we say, Ashreinu, Matov Chalkenu, Manom Goralenu, Mayofa Yerushasenu. We say, Ashreinu. What does Ashreinu mean? Ashreinu means, how fortunate are we? Ashrei Rav Hirsch, in his commentary on Tehillim, because Ashrei Ha'ish, the first word of Tehillim is Ashrei, Rav Hirsch says it doesn't only mean fortunate, happy. Rav Hirsch says Ashrei also means to progress, to move forward. That the greatest fortune, the greatest happiness a person can have is when he or she is moving forward towards fulfillment. So we say Ashreinu, we are so fortunate, we are so fulfilled. Matov Chalkenu, how good is our chelek? A chelek is a part, a portion. Umanoim goralenu, how pleasant, how sweet is our goral? Our goral, goralos are like lottery, our lot in life. Umayofa Yerushasenu, and how beautiful is our Yerusha, is our inheritance. What's this referring to? These three phrases. So Rav Schwab says, Matov Chalkenu means chelek Hashem Amo, that the chelek of the Klal Yisrael, we are part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Zohar says, Kutcha Brichu v'Yisrael v'Arayis Achadu, that Hashem, the Jewish people and Torah, are really all one. So when we talk about Matov Chalkenu, how good is our part, how good is our portion, how good is what we are a part of, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derech HaTov Lehetiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate good. So when we say Matov Chalkenu, we say how good it is to be part of the Eibishter, to be part of this unique covenant, to be partner, if you will, with Hashem. And again, don't forget, this is the tefillah that the Chachamim wrote for Jews who were suffering intense religious persecution. So this is something to make sure, again, who is the most blessed nation? This was a daily chizuk, the daily, daily shot of Jewish pride. Manoim goralenu. How pleasant is our goral? What is the goral? What is the lot? Where do we find lots in the Torah? The most famous place we find lots in the Torah, we just talked about, Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, right? He had two lots, one the Sar Lashem, one the Sar Lazazel. And we know every year it came out the same one. The right was Sar Lashem, the left was Sa'ir La'azazel. And Umanoim Goralenu, the Goral, what we choose. Rav Schwab says that Moshe Rabbeinu, time and time again, in Sefer Devarim, he says, right, Bacharta Bachaim, Moshe Rabbeinu puts choices in front of us. Life and death, blessing and curse. And what Rav Schwab says, the choice that we have to make, our goral, the lot that we choose, is mitzvos. to live a life committed to mitzvos. So when we say umanoim goralenu, so often people see mitzvos as such a burden, as something that's so hard. So what do we declare every morning? Umanoim goralenu. How pleasant it is. How sweet it is. Mitzvos aren't hard. Mitzvos aren't back-breaking. Mitzvos are sweet. They're pleasant. They're enjoyable. The goral, the lot that we're choosing. Uma yafa yirushasenu. And how beautiful is our Yerusha? What is the Yerusha of a Jewish person? Right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kihilas Yaakov. The Morasha that's transmitted from generation to the generation is Torah. But what Torah? Not Torah shebichsav. Rav Schwab says this is Torah shebal peh. It's the Torah that grows. I mean, it's unbelievable. We've spoken about this a number of times in different contexts. How many Svarim are published every week? And even with COVID, even during COVID, how many Svarim are being published every week? This is the Yerusha of the Jewish people. The inheritance of the Jewish people is the Torah Shebal Peh that continues to grow successively with every generation. There's more and more Torah. You know, one of my daughters asked, you know, who's an Achron? Who's an Achron? I said, I'm an Achron. You could be an Achron. Achronim are the people that are living now. She goes, what do you mean Achronim still live? Of course, Torah is still growing. It's an unbelievable thing. But that is the Yerusha. What we get from parents, what we get from grandparents, and what we're going to transmit to children and grandchildren, but we're going to add to the Yerusha, each and every one of us. Right? The Torah of the mother, the Musar of the father, that's the Yerusha that we get, and that's so beautiful. And then before we declare Shema, there's one more thing that we say. Ashreinu, how fortunate, again, how happy we are. She'anachnu mashkimum ma'arivim er vavoker, right? That we wake up early and we are up late at night, erev avoker, night and morning. So Rav Schwab points out, well, this is a little bit of a strange phrase. And it's actually questionable what exactly the original unadulterated text is. But the way many explain it is that mashkimu ma'arivim, we're talking about saying Shema, right? That ashrenu she'anachnu mashkim ma'arivim erev avoker ve'omrim pamayim b'chol yom. That we wake up early and late, evening and morning, and we say twice every day Shema Yisrael. So Rav Schwab suggests that when we say Mashkimu Marivim, that we wake up and we go to sleep again, it's not following Erev Avoker, the evening and night. We know in the Mishnah, in Brachos, it talks about the night Shema first and then the morning, right? Because in Halacha, we know that the day begins at night. The new date, right, Aleph Mar Cheshvan started this evening, started a couple of hours ago. That's when Aleph Mar Cheshvan started. So why does it say Mashkimim Umarivim, get up early and go to sleep late? Again, that's the order of the day, but also that's the order of life. Mashkimim Umarivim, that when we talk about the Shema, yeah, we say Shema twice a day. Erev Vavoker. Then we can say Shema tonight, the Marv Shema, and in the morning. Twice every day we have to say Shema. But when we talk about the life, a life is bookended by Shema. And again, this is a tefillah of intense religion, of the persecuted, the prayer of the persecuted. When Jews are going through very tough times, saying Shema could get them into jail and be put to death. Shema, then in the beginning of life, what's the first thing that we're taught by parents, right? The first pasuk was a Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, but we know so commonly the first pasuk children really learn is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what you say over your child's crib, right? You say over your baby before they can even talk. You say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ma'arivim, that's mashkimim at the beginning of life. Ma'arivim means at the end of life. At the end of life, ma'arivim also, as the sun is setting on a life, also, a person says Shema, the last thing. So that's the bookends of life, but then also, erev avoker, va'umrim pamayim b'chol yom, every evening and morning, twice every day, what do? We declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And again, this declaration of Shema, historically, was because Jews didn't have the opportunity to say Shema in Shul, because it was outlawed, but we keep it here. Again, halachically, there is a benefit if you get to a place, you're not going to make Zman Kriya Shema for davening Shachris, so you would say it here, having in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But most people don't say Vahavta. Most people don't say any other further part of Shema, just the first pasuk and Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuso L'olam Va'ed. Why? Because that's the declaration, the ultimate declaration of faith. That's the words that we say when we're first born, over our children first born, and the words that are on a person's lips as they leave this world. And then it continues that twice every day we say this, and then the paragraph after is a very intense paragraph. In fact, historically, this paragraph, this bracha that's actually said, is the bracha, a version of the bracha that is to be said before a person gets killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. One of the most famous martyrs that died Al Kiddush Hashem of the past 500 years was the Ger Tzedek, the absolutely righteous convert, Avraham ben Avraham of Vilna. Avraham ben Avraham was the son of a great Polish nobleman, Count Patatki, who was incredibly wealthy, incredibly powerful, but his son, when he sent to university in Italy, learned about Judaism and decided that Torah was true. He was very, very bright, his son. Torah is emes, and he wanted to become a Jew. But he knew becoming a Jew back in Poland was going to mean death, because you converted to Judaism, you were put to death. So he converted in Italy, but he had yearnings to go home, so eventually he went back to Poland. And it happened that there was a family that informed on him that he was the son of this great nobleman. He was arrested, and he was in jail, ready to be put to death. And the Vilna Gaon went to go see him. This was in the time of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon said, if you want, I can get you out of here. And the Ger Tzedek asked the Vilna Gaon, is he allowed to die? Meaning, if the Vilna Gaon could get him out of there. However, the Vilna Gaon, I've heard different stories, the Vilna Gaon had money to bribe the guards. Some say the Vilna Gaon was going to use Kabbalah to get him out. And he asked the Vilna Gaon, am I allowed to give up my life, Al Kiddush Hashem? Am I allowed to die for Hashem? And he said, yes, you're allowed to. So he said, that's what I want to do. He never had been married, never had children. The Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram. And he asked the Vilna Gaon, as they put the flames to kill me, what bracha do I say? And the Vilna Gaon told him the following paragraph we're about to learn. This paragraph that we say every day after Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in the beginning of Karbanos, this Ata Hu Ad Shelo Nivra HaOlam, this paragraph is an intense, intense declaration in the eternity of God, and that Hashem is Ha Yehovah V'yiyeh, that Hashem is the Kol Yachol. It's a very, very intense, declaration of Metzias Hashem, and it ends with the bracha Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Hashimcha Barabin. So the Vilna Gaon told him this was the bracha to say. And in fact, he was put to death. His ashes were gathered up. There was a great tzaddik, the Yisod V'Shor Shavoda, who was there at the time, said the amen to the bracha. And he supposedly said that the Vilna Gaon said, if 10 Jews would have been there, if there would have been a minion to answer amen to the Ger Tzedek's bracha as they were putting him to death, this bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim, Mashiach would have come then. And they gathered his ashes, and actually the ashes of the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, were buried next to the Vilna Gaon in Vilna. But this paragraph is a very intense paragraph, and again, historical context is so important to understand this. But Atahu Achelonivra Olam, you were the one, Atahu, you, meaning he. Again, the who is a statement of Hashem's existence that we just know He is. We don't know anything else. The Shem Hashem, so that is its expression of God in this world. We see, we can understand. But who is this? Is a term referring to Hashem that is a total of Hashem. He is. He is. We don't know anything else. Atahu, Atchelo Nivram. You are the one. You, Atahu, you are He that was there before the world was created. Atu Mishinivrom, you are the same that when the world was created. Atu Bolomaze, you are He in this world. Va'atahu L'Olam Haba, and you will be He L'Olam Haba, into the next world. Meaning there's no change by Hashem. It's just a very, very simple declaration of faith. And again, it's about the timelessness of God, and also that there's this world, and we know that there's a next world. And that gives Jews great chizuk. There's a famous story that the Rebbe Riatz, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, we know he was hounded greatly by Soviet authorities, by communist authorities. And one time when he was put in jail, the Rebbe Riatz, Rev Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, Zuchusi Agin Aleinu, so some communist Russian official tried to intimidate him, took out a gun and put it to the head of the Rebbe Riatz. And the Rebbe Riatz looked at him and he said, listen, I'm not afraid of you. You have to understand that you know, you believe in many gods in one world. I believe in one God in many worlds. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Whatever you're going to do, you do. I'm not afraid. So therefore, you know, when we talk about this declaration of faith, we have to, again, putting it in context is so important. And, you know, chas v'shalom, we should be given this nisayon. Chas v'shalom, we should be given this nisayon. But what we have to understand is kadesh shimcha maktish shemecha. We ask Hashem, sanctify your name on those maktish shemecha, those that cause others, hifil. Rav Shah points out it's Lashon Hifil, those that cause others to sanctify your name, the Kaddish Ashimcha Ba'olamecha, and sanctify your name in this world, meaning let us see your name in this world. Let us see the full expression, right? When we answer Kaddish, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, answering Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba can rip up decrees against the Jewish people. What is Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba saying? Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba is what? Is asking for Amen Yehei Shmei, his name of Yud-Hei, Rabba should be made great. Right, his name should be made great in this world. The name of Yud-Hei should be full. The Yud-Hei should be joined with the Vav-Hei. Adam will explain all the Kabbalah another time, not right now. Right, and we end with Vishuascha Tarim Visagbia Karneinu, and through your salvation, Tarim, you should lift up Visagbia and hold up high Karneinu, our horn. And again, what does that represent? That represents, of course, Mashiach, the Karen David Avdecha. Right, Karneinu, the horn of the Jewish people, is the horn of David. It's the Malko Mashicho that we're asking Hashem, Vishuascha Hashem, through your salvation. We've said this many times before, based on the bracha of Etzemach David in Shmona Esri. Some say Vishuascha means Hashem's salvation, the salvation that Hashem will bring. But others say Vishuascha means what? The salvation. Vishuascha means the salvation of Hashem. That kaviyachal in this world is a chil Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name. When things like this happen to his people, when things like this happen to us, it's a great tragedy, great chil Hashem. So we're asking for Hashem kaviyachal to be saved in that way. And the end of it is Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Hashimcha Barabim. Again, some don't say the Shem Hashem here because it's a very intense bracha. It's a wild bracha. You're saying the bracha over sacrificing your life for God. That's what this bracha is. So that's why some don't have many svaridim. Many take out the Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei, take out Hashem's name. They just end this Baruch Ata Mekadesh Hashimcha Barabim, right? Others have a little different nusach Shimcha versus Shemo, Shemo Barabim. But personally, I do say Shem Hashem. That's general minhag Ashkenaz, is that you do say Hashem's name when you're saying this bracha. But there's a very important lesson. Again, Baruch Hashem, we don't have religious persecution that they had in Babylonia in the 5th century CE. Whatever's going on in Brooklyn, whatever's going on in the governor's head, again, it's not the same person. We're not talking about persecution on that level. Baruch Hashem, you know, where we live, we're not facing these nisyonos that they faced in Babylonia 1,500 years ago. So what is the meaning for us in saying this every day? So again, this is something that we said when we were talking about the Akedah, why the minig is, many say that it's good to say the Akedah every day. Again, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the idea of saying the parasha of Akedah. Many just don't do it, but it's, so we call it a minhag, even though it's in Shulchan Aruch. But the idea of saying this bracha, Rav Schwab highlights, and we've quoted from Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zeichet Tzadik Kaddish Bracha, the idea that sanctifying God's name doesn't only mean dying al Kiddush Hashem. Sanctifying Hashem's name, right, begali v'seiser, revealed way in a hidden way, is also doing the littlest things. We spoke about this in the Parsha Shir this past Thursday night, that this is our responsibility. The Chidah said, right, for the word Bereishis, right, bekal ram avarech shem Hashem tamid, that I'll always bless Hashem's name out loud, right? That's Kiddush Hashem, that's sanctifying Hashem's name in this world. It doesn't have to be in giving up our life. And every day, when we say this part of davening, and you should know I've got a beautiful email from someone from the shul, I told him I wouldn't mention his name. When we started learning about this tefillah la'olam yehi adam, he said, Rabbi, even when I'm late to shul, he says, I don't miss a day of saying this tefillah. He said, this tefillah gives me such chizuk. And a person who came to it on his own, he said that this tefillah of recognizing the futility of this world, but recognizing what it means to be part of Am Hashem. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful email that he wrote. And it surprised me, you know, like this is a tefillah that a person connects to so deeply, and he does, because there's such amkus here. And there's such a beautiful, beautiful message of this tefillah of recognizing what we can be doing every day and the role that we have in this world. And just to end, there is an important paragraph that it follows, because next time, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about karbanos, why we say karbanos every day, which karbanos halachically the most important to say every day. We'll talk one shiur just about karbanos. I know most people don't say it anyway. No, chas v'shalom, we'll still have to talk about it a little bit. But there is the final paragraph in the first part of what we refer to as karbanos, these tefillos after the brachos, that's really all about sanctifying Hashem's name. That's really, I think, what this first part is all about. It's about giving a person chizuk to go into this world in a real way. Understands like our marching orders, the prayer for the persecuted, and even when you're not persecuted, it helps us recognize who we are. I see there are some comments. We'll just finish, and then those that want to stay on, we'll just look at the comments and respond to them. But it starts, Atahu Hashem Elokeinu b'shamayim v'aretz, v'shmei Hashamayim helyonim, emes hatorishin v'atah acharon. This paragraph that continues is essentially continuing the theme of declaration of faith in Hashem, in declaration in Geula, a declaration that we believe that there will be a redemption, that there will be a time. This paragraph actually mirrors a lot of what we say in Yom Noraim, a lot of the tefillos of the standard, the Kiddushas Hashem Bracha, of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, asking that the whole world recognize Hashem. And this is like the siyum, it's the conclusion after the bracha, Mekadesh Shimcha Barabim. What goes on after that? After you've given your life for God, you say, I'm willing to give up everything for Hashem. So what comes after? So you know what comes after? What comes after is a declaration that we know, Hashem, you're going to be Mekabit Ma'arba Kanfos Aretz. And the whole world is going to recognize you. And right now, we're the ones that we are carrying your name, but we know that it's going to be the whole world. And it ends with a beautiful pasuk from Tzefania. At that time I will bring you, at that time I will gather you, and I will give for you as a name and praise in amongst all the nations of the world, Amar Hashem, when I bring back those that were captive in front of your eyes, so Hashem said. So meaning the very end of this section of davening, again, after Birchos HaShachar, before Karbanos, is really about Kiddush Hashem, and it's about, you know, Emuna Lemaisa. It's about declaring your faith in what was, in what is, and ultimately what will be. Okay, so Yishkoyach, everyone, for joining. Really appreciate being able to learn together tonight. Okay, so these are things. So someone said that there's a bracha in the song, beautiful, and someone privately asked. Okay, you could reach out to me privately if the question that you had there. Okay, otherwise it'll go a little bit long. Have a good night, everyone. Kol tov.